We are starting part 10 of our series called Supernatural, walking through the book of Acts together. And today's message is titled simply Heart and Soul. Somebody say heart and soul.
Heart and soul.
Come on now, say it like you had your coffee. Say heart and soul.
Heart and soul.
Come on, I love it. I love it. And so I'm going to start with Acts chapter 4. It's verses 32 through 37. This is going to be our main text for today. And as you know, we've been walking through the book of Acts together. And we've seen some amazing things through the book of Acts, beginning where Jesus ascends back to heaven. He says, hey, but wait for the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost and 3,000 people get saved. And they start having this amazing community together. And these miracles and signs and wonders begin to break out. And God is doing some incredible things. And I want to read to you about what being heart and soul church is all about. And it starts right here. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. No one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray today as we look to God's word. Father, I just ask that you would bless our time together. Thank you, Lord, for the amazing opportunity to watch these people be baptized this morning, these families. Lord, help us to support them. God, help us to lift them up and to be heart and soul for them. That we would be heart and soul for one another. Teach us what that means today. Open up our eyes, ears, and heart and mind to receive the word of God today. And all God's children said.
Amen.
So, the question I want to ask and answer today is, what does a heart and soul church look like? What is a heart and soul church? This is the early church, right? And these people were just all in for one another. They were all about community. They were all about each other. They gave up so much to be a part of this amazing community. And so the first thing that I want to tell you today, first point if you're taking notes, is that heart and soul believers are unified. They're unified. I want somebody to say unity.
Unity,
unity is an important concept. It's very central throughout the entire scripture. It's the Old Testament. It gives us incredible examples of unity. Jesus talks about it. Paul writes to the churches a whole lot about unity and says that it is something that we are supposed to strive for. He says, be of one mind, be of one heart, be of one spirit. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to be uniform in everything. I went to private school all growing up. I went to Christian school. We got any private Christian school kids in the house? Come on now. Anybody else? Come on, a few, like 8, 6 of us, okay? We're all the weirdos of the church, okay? So, and so I went to private school. My son Oakland goes to private school as well, and they have a uniform that they have to wear. And you have to look exactly the same as everybody else. And now I understand the reasons why they do it, but at the end of the day, that's not what the body of Christ is supposed to look like, right? We're not supposed to all wear the same clothes. We're not all supposed to necessarily have the same thoughts and opinions on everything. But what we do is we're not uniform, but we are unified underneath Jesus Christ. Amen? Underneath the banner of Jesus. We can all agree on the things that we need to agree on, which is Jesus. There's some important things that we need to be in agreement, in alignment with. But that doesn't mean that every single thing we have to be in alignment with. Now, you might think, Pastor Trevor, I thought we were in the series called Supernatural. And this doesn't sound like a very supernatural thing here. Like, we've been talking about signs, wonders, and miracles, right? Believing for miracles in the house of God. And so, let me ask you then, have you ever tried to live in unity with thousands of people? Think about it. It takes a miracle for some of you to live in unity with the people in your own home. And there's like 4 of you. They have like almost 10,000 people. It says when Peter preached, there were 3,000 men that got saved, probably closer to 5,000 people total. And then it says that the Lord was adding, in Acts chapter 2, I'm backing up, it says that the Lord added to their number daily. So they're adding to their number daily. By this point in Acts chapter 4, you can kind of assume there's close to maybe 10,000 people. 10,000 people in this early church. And they're all living in unity with one another. So, let's be real. It's much easier to live in unity with a small group of people than it is to live in unity with a large group of people. I can live in unity with my family. I can live in unity with maybe my friend group that I have. Why is that? Well, because we all grew up the same way. We all think the same way. We have the same thoughts and opinions on things. Maybe we enjoy the same things. We have the same hobbies. And especially if you're the same family, you know, you do the chores the same way. You know, like you think about life in a certain way. Your worldview is the same as those people. But you start to add multiple families. Things can get a little messy. You start to add different friend groups and you try to merge those different friend groups together. And sometimes it works and sometimes it can get a little messy and run into some problems. You guys eat every single dinner together at 5:30 p.m.? Y'all are so weird. Like my family, we just order DoorDash and everybody's eating at like 8, 9, 10 p.m. You pull out a TV tray and a basketball game and we're good to go. You know, like it's just different. And there's some people like, well, you watch soccer? Like, that's what you enjoy? Like, obviously, football is the way to go, of course. And the other person's like, well, actually, what you watch is American football, and I actually watch real football, okay? The way the rest of the world views it, okay? And you guys in American football don't even use your feet. You know, like, they just have different opinions on things. Different things that you enjoy, different way of life. You know, we have an election coming up. Anybody heard about it? You voted for who? Thanksgiving's going to be real weird this year, you know? Every 4 years, Thanksgiving stinks, right, you know? And so you voted for who? And you have to have some of these conversations sometimes. And it's like, you know, high school. There's like some very clear divisions. You know high school. You've been there. And so you have the jocks, the gamers. You have the preppy girls, the skater girls, the troublemakers that are in detention. And then you have the straight-laced, straight-A students in study hall. You know, we're just different people. Different kinds of people. Now, let's just take high school. Let's imagine that every student at Layman and Hayes High School all combined, and they all got along. Starting to sound like a miracle now, isn't it? Everybody just got along. Everybody was in unity. Everybody was heart and soul for one another. You know, that's exactly what's happening here, though. At this point, there's anywhere from 8 to 10,000 believers, and everyone's putting aside their differences. They're putting aside their preconceived notions, their upbringings, their judgments, and they're coming together in unity under the banner of Jesus Christ. They're under one heart. They have one soul. They have one mind. They're together in this. They have unity. So if you don't think that this heart and soul unity is a supernatural work of God, then I would like you to think again. It most definitely is nothing short of a miracle. What God was doing in the early church. Absolutely a miracle. And I believe that he can do it in our church and is doing it in our church today, right here, right now. If you believe that, somebody say amen. Amen. So as our church family expands, and it has, and I'm just so excited to, you know, even be able to tell you last week, if you didn't see, we had 684 people at Easter at Radical Church. Come on, isn't that incredible? That's amazing. We had 24, 25 people that we know of anyway that gave their lives to Jesus, and we have over 20 people being baptized today, and you got to see some of those amazing people. Come on, let's give it up for what God's doing in people's lives right here in the house, in the Rad Fam. And I just believe that as our church family expands, we need to ask God for this miracle of supernatural unity among our church. It's not something that happens by accident. It's not something that's easy. It's not something that will come naturally to everybody, but it's something that we need to fight for. Why? Because when we are unified, God can do even greater things through us. The Bible talks a lot about when you're on your own, you can only do so much. But when you add a second person, now you can do more. But a cord of three strands is not easily broken, right? You add more people into the mix, then God can do even more. We're not broken. We're broken when we're on our own, and we can do more, and we're not broken. We're strong when we're together. Amen. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That's a good verse. So much so, I'll read it again. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. But this isn't the first time we see this phrase, heart and soul, in Scripture. It's not. For that, you actually have to go all the way back to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. Jonathan is King Saul's son. And they're in this battle with the Philistines, as they usually were. And King Saul has 600 men with him. Jonathan and his armor bearer are two of these men. Jonathan has this crazy plan, though. He has this crazy idea, and he says, you know what? I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and we're going to see if we can defeat the enemy on our own. And he says, whether or not salvation is going to come from God, whether it's by many or by few. And so he turns to his armor bearer and says, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to try to flank them and see what we can do. This is some crazy plan that he has here. Two dudes against who knows how many. But the response from Jonathan's armor bearer is incredible. And it's a response that I would hope that we would have to some of our friends here at Radical Church. He says in 1 Samuel 14:7, do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. Somebody say heart and soul. I am with you, heart and soul. They end up going and they flank this group. It says in about an area, about half an acre, they kill 20 Philistine soldiers on their own. These dudes were absolutely incredible warriors. God was with them in that moment. This whole army then just goes into complete chaos and confusion. And King Saul figures out that there's something going on. It says that he has his watchtower, his people that are watching out and looking out to see what's going on in the enemy's camp. And they report back to him and they're like, hey, King Saul, this whole army is kind of freaking out. It says that they're actually killing each other now. They're just in this big state of confusion. They can't figure out what's going on. And there are just kind of, there's a stirring going on over there. And King Saul is like, all right, well, let's get everybody together. Let's see, who are we missing right now? And then he looks and sees that his son Jonathan is gone. And he's like, Jonathan, you little brat. What have you done? And then he's like, well, I guess we're doing this. Here we go. And so he realizes that Jonathan and his armor bearer are gone. And he figures out very quickly what happened. He said, hey, let's round the troops. Whoever we got, let's go after them. Obviously, God's given us victory right now. Let's go do this. And so they're able to chase off the enemy and take out a bunch of the soldiers and push the enemy back. God gave them victory that day. And it all started with what? An armor bearer that said, I'm with you, heart and soul. I'm with you. Hey, this plan sounds crazy. It sounds nuts. But God is with us. And I'm with you and you're with me. And I will back you up no matter what crazy plan you have. Come on, anybody got a friend that like they come up with some crazy plans, but no matter what they say, you're like, hey, I don't even know the plan yet, but I'm in, all right? Whatever it is, let's do this. You need some people like that in your life, amen? You need some people that are with you heart and soul. Who is that person that would be just crazy enough to go up against dozens of enemy soldiers with just you? That's amazing. Who are those people that are just, honestly, they're just there for you? That are just around. When you're going through the battles of life, they're right there in the thick of it with you. They're those people that are just around. They're always there. They're by your side. They've got your back. They're just available. And so the second point I have for you today is I believe heart and soul believers are available. I believe that they are available for one another. You have to be. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they met daily together to pray, to worship, and to listen to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread. What does that mean? It means that they were just together all the time. They met daily. It says it right there. How many of y'all would like to have church every single day? Come on now. Hey, listen, you got to raise your hand. I get it. Some of y'all are like, yes, that is the crazy plan. I'm with you heart and soul, pastor, you know. But hey, listen, this is what they did. They met every single day together. That availability is so important. It really is. It says to the breaking of bread. What does that mean? That means fellowship. That means going to get lunch. That means going to get coffee. You know, I don't know what they drank back then, but like, you know, they're going out, they're hanging out, their families are getting together, they're going on play dates, that kind of stuff. But they met daily to worship, to pray, to hang out, to be with one another. They were together often. They were together daily. And I believe that the strength of our community is directly correlated to our availability. The strength of this community will only be as much as we are available for one another. If you're not available for these people, then how would we grow? How would we become strong? And let me just be brutally honest with you today. You can't be heart and soul for people that you barely see. You can't be heart and soul for people when you're just in and out on a Sunday morning. You can't. You don't know them, right? I saw a TikTok. Somebody sent it to me the other day. I can't remember who it was. But it was this dude in church, and they had some people kind of sitting in the chairs. And the text on the video said, "Why I don't have any friends at church." And it was him just kind of going like this. Like, service had just ended, and then everybody's trying to say, like, "Hey, what's going on?" He's like, "Oh, don't talk to me." "Hey, what's up, man?" Trying to shake his hand. He's like, you know, going like this, just trying to, like, dodge people as he's trying to get out the door, and he finally, like, busts out the door, you know? And sometimes this is how we are in church, right? Listen, I know we got stuff to do. I know we got things going on in our lives, but we have to be available for one another, y'all. We've got to get in this commitment to this community, commitment to one another, because I really do believe that the strength of this community comes with the availability that we make for one another. It's true. So I'd encourage you not just to come to church regularly. I think that's an important thing for us to do. But to come to worship and prayer nights, get in a group, make friends that become like family, get together outside of Sundays, and just be available for people. Sometimes that's the best thing that you can do for somebody, is just be around. You might not have the words to say when they're going through a hard time, but you're there. And you know how important it is to have that friend or that family member or that spouse, that husband, that wife, that you know when you're going through it, they're just there, you know? And I want us to be that for one another. That's what they were being for each other. They were available. And it says that they sold land and houses, and then they gave the proceeds from that. They just dropped it off at the apostles' feet and gave it out to anybody that was in need. Let's be real. You do not do that for people that you barely know. I'm not selling my house for these people I've never met or that I don't care about or that I don't really know. They're not heart and soul for me. I'm certainly not heart and soul for them. I don't even know. Just be honest. The reason that they were selling these properties and possessions and this land, and, you know, if I'm selling my car and giving the proceeds to the church and saying, give it out to whoever's in need, the only reason I'm doing that is because I believe in the community. It's because I believe that you're for me, and I know that I'm for you. I might not know every single person. There's 10,000 of them maybe at this point. I'm not going to know every single one of them, but I can see that God is moving. I can see that he's doing something special, and I want to be able to be a blessing and to be a part of this community in a big and powerful way. And so this is why people did that. And so, you know, I got to know that you're invested in me and I'm invested in you, and that's where the generosity starts to flow from. And generosity towards the church, I believe, comes through a strong relationship with God first and foremost, but then a strong relationship with the people that are in the house. You got to have both. And so the third point is heart and soul believers are generous. They're generous. And it says in that passage that no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Now, sometimes people will try to use this passage in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 to argue that Jesus was like a socialist or a communist, okay? They'll be like, you know, you just got to share everything. Jesus was a socialist, man. Like, he just did that. Everybody had everything. You know, the early church, they just all, you know, like, why don't we just live like that, you know? We could all just get together in like a compound or something like that. We'll all just like, you know, live together as the church, you know? Maybe in like Waco, Texas or something, you know? Like, sounds great. Nah, see, that's a cult is what that is, y'all. We ain't doing none of that stuff. Don't mess with me. You start talking like that mess. Listen, the difference between the early church and communism is that no one forced them to do it. No one told them to do this. They chose on their own free will to meet the needs of each other. The Roman government was not involved. The apostles were not like the state government. No one coerced them. No one forced them. They just loved one another so much, and they loved God so much that they had a heart for the people. They were so available for one another. and so in community and so in relationship with one another that they had no other way to express that other than saying, I got to give everything I have to help these people around me. There's needs in this community and I want to be available. I want to meet these needs. Generosity flew out, just came out of this love for the community. There were no classes of people. There were no divisions among them. It wasn't like you had the lawyer and then the homeless person, but they both believe in Jesus. Man, we're brothers in Christ now. No divisions among them. I firmly believe the doctors and the lawyers and the people that had been blessed with much were completely just taken over by the love of Jesus, that they said, you know what? We have this responsibility. Now, God has given us much. Now, much is required. God has blessed us with much. I want to be a blessing to this community around me. And they took care of everybody that had a need. It was powerful. There was no agreement on who would get what and when and how. The production wasn't, you know, all put through this central system or anything. It's just the body of Christ taking care of each other. Isn't that good? That's what the church is about. Us taking care of the body, just being available, being generous to one another. If somebody's got a need, man, I want to meet that need. Honestly, Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. Sometimes I think we think that people will know that we are disciples of Jesus by our love for them. But that's not what Jesus said, right? He said, they will know that you're my disciples by the love that you have for the people in this room. You know how many people that are outside of the church don't want any part of this church or any part of any church because they see how we treat each other sometimes? It's like we shoot our own. We stab our own people in the back. And then we expect the people on the outside to want to be a part of this family. Absolutely not. Why would they? And I'm not saying this is our church family, but I'm saying this is the church in general. This is what people on the outside, maybe you know people like that. They're like, man, honestly, all I've seen in church is a bunch of hypocrites. People that y'all say that you love each other and you say that you're family, but you're not really family. They will know you're my disciples by how you love one another. So how are you loving the people in this room? How are you loving people around you? Are you available for them? Are you generous to them? Are you unified with them? And I would say that this kind of a love really, honestly, is a supernatural kind of love, because some church people be crazy, you know, honestly. Now you got to imagine in 10,000 people that they had in this early church, you mean to tell me there were some crazy people? Come on, of course there were. But they were unified. They were together. They were of one heart and one soul. And I believe that this is a love that's so selfless, so caring, so giving that now they're willingly giving up possessions to meet the needs of these other people in this community. If I could submit this to you, I think love and generosity are linked together in a very powerful way. Love and generosity are linked together. It's the love of Jesus that compels us to love others. And I think part of loving people is just meeting their needs. Just married people, come on now. You know what I'm talking about already. One of the greatest things that you can do for your spouse is to meet one of their needs without them having to ask you. One of the greatest things that you could do as a husband or as a wife is to meet the needs of your partner without them having to ask you, without them having to say anything about it. You just do it. Why? Because you love them. You care about them. You see a need and you meet a need, right? You see something needs to be done, you get it done. And this is exactly what the early church was doing. They saw the needs and they met the needs. No one told them to do it. Nobody asked them to do these things. The apostles weren't saying, hey, if anybody's got some land, if anybody's got some property that you could sell, that you could really help with this situation that we have here. No, there was nothing like that. They did it on their own accord. And they brought the proceeds and laid at the apostles' feet. I almost feel like the apostles, first time it happened, were probably shocked. Like, wow, thank you. This is incredible. We're going to be able to do so much with this. Thank you so much. You just do it because you love them. No one told them to share their possessions, but just because of their great and deep love for God and for one another, I just feel like they couldn't help it. They just had this love within them that says, this is what we do. We take care of each other. And so in Acts 4:36, it says, thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, Can we just stop for a second and say how awesome of a name that is? That's an incredible thing to be known by. This dude, his name is Joseph. I don't even know. No one else called him Barnabas. He had never been called Barnabas before this day. And yet he comes into this community of people, and the apostles get to know him. He gets to know them, and they start calling him Barnabas, son of encouragement. Why would you just make up a name for somebody if it didn't mean something, right? It meant something to them. He must have been like the most likable dude, honestly. He really must have been. We'll talk about him in just a second. But he brings this offering and drops it off at the apostles' feet. And if I can just be real with you guys for a second, I'm incredibly grateful for a generous church. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for the people in this house who have given so much to be a part of this church and to bless other people within our church family. And we've had three families in the last 5-6 months that have given thousands of dollars anonymously just for us to give out to people that are in need. No strings attached, just want to help. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like Joseph, Barnabas. In the excess of the blessing that God has given them, laying the money down at the apostles' feet and saying, hey, distribute it how you guys see fit. I've had that conversation three times with three different families, right over there in that office or over the phone. No strings attached. We just want to be a blessing. We just want to help. If that's not the love of Jesus, I don't know what is. It's incredible. I can't tell you how proud I am to pastor this church that's so generous and so caring. So one of our core values is community focused. We really care about our community around here. We want to see people saved, healed, delivered, set free, restored, empowered by the love of Jesus, radically changed by the love of Jesus. And we also want to meet needs. We want to meet practical needs for people. Intentionally generous is another one of our core values. We want to be intentionally generous, not just generous when it serves us, but we want to be intentionally generous in the people and places that we give towards and in our community. We want to bless our community. We want to bless our church family and take care of the people that God has entrusted us with as well. And I'm so proud that I get to pastor this church. Seriously, you're amazing. I love you guys so much. And I just want to say thank you for modeling generosity to the point where, honestly, I didn't even talk about giving last week. Did you notice that? Some people might notice it. Some people might not. It's very intentional. I didn't talk about money or giving, tithing, nothing last week on Easter Sunday when we had almost 700 people in the room. And other pastors would tell me that that's a terrible mindset. You should not be doing that. You have so many people in the room, you're leaving money on the table. But you know why I don't do it? Because I don't need to. Because you guys will do it anyway. We have a very generous church, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so grateful for you that I don't even feel the need to talk about giving on the most attended Sunday of the year. We'll never pass buckets. We've never passed a bucket at Radical. I've never shamed anybody into giving before. Never done it once. We'll never do it. Because then that's not true generosity, is it? Right? That's exactly the opposite of what is happening right here in Acts chapter 4, where they were willingly bringing this forward and giving their possessions to help people. It's the exact opposite. Now I'm shaming people into giving and creating a system around it, right? And we don't want to do that. I want you to be so compelled by love for each other, so compelled by the love of Jesus for you, that you love others in a way that leads you to this. That's what it's all about. During our Christmas services, we did not take up an offering. If you were here for it, it was powerful. We gave out almost $10,000 to help those that are in need in our church family. Literally just gave out money. I think that's the only time we've ever passed a bucket, actually. And I said, do not put any money in, only take money out. Thousands of dollars almost 10,000. And it was just to bless you and to bless people that were in need in your family and people that you know in your family that maybe needed a Christmas gift or Christmas present or something like that. One of the most powerful things I think that we've ever done. Many of you have given towards youth camp scholarships. We're having kids camp. We'll be able to give towards kids camp scholarships so that a young person could go to youth camp or kids camp maybe for the first time. And there are young people's lives that have been changed forever because of you giving and your generosity. There's students that went to our very first youth camp. I was there. I got to go to our very first youth camp. And there's a few students there that gave their, we had 11 students that went, and none of them really believed in God. I'm going to be honest. Maybe a couple. And every single one of them gave their life to Jesus at that camp. And now a few of them have been called into ministry to help other students. One of them specifically wants to go into youth ministry and to give that same hope and that same life that Jesus has given her now to somebody else. You know that that doesn't happen without a church that is generous. That doesn't happen without a church that's bought in, that sees what God is doing and says, I want to be a part of that in any way that I can. And there are kids and students' lives that have been forever changed because of one person that was heart and soul. There will be a time very soon that I will come and ask you for your help again. Obviously, we're running out of space here, and I just believe that God wants us to build a home where generations can experience the radical love of Jesus, where your kids will be able to grow up and have a place to call home, that even when they go off to college and they have families of their own, they'll be able to look back and say, man, I loved my years that I was at that church. There will be some kids that are over there and Rad Kids that are future staff members here at Radical Church. There are kids over there that will transform the marketplace for Jesus. I truly believe that. We want to invest in people. And I just know that without a shadow of doubt that many of you, just like Barnabas, when that day comes, I know that there will be so many of you that will come to this altar and lay your offering right here. And it won't be because that we forced you to do it. It won't be because of anything else. Not because it made you feel bad about it or pressured you or anything like that. But just because you want to see more young people saved, just like those students. Because you want to see more people be baptized like we just saw on the screens right now. Because you want to see more salvations, more people set free by the love of Jesus Christ. And you believe in what God is doing here in this place. You've been available. We're investing in one another. We're here. We're unified together. And we're seeing God do miraculous things in this place. And you say, hey, I just want to be a part of that. I want to see more of that in Hays County. I want to see more of that right here in Kyle, Texas. More missionaries sent out. More families that are cared for in our church. We want to make more room for more people to be added into the kingdom of God. Listen, I believe that day will come. And heart and soul believers, honestly, at the end of the day, guys, we just meet each other's needs. That's what we do. That's what the church is about. That's what it's supposed to be about. So I just want to say thank you for being heart and soul. Guys, I just love our church. I cried last service, and here I go again. Like, I love you guys. You're a great church. I'm so honored to be your pastor. Like, thank you so much. Honestly, I could have never dreamed that God would have blessed us so much back when he gave me that word in 2017 to start this church. And in 2020, we started it, and it was just so wild. But from the beginning, we've been a generous church and a loving church. And I think that's why you and others keep coming back. I just think there's something different. It's just beautiful. And every day that I get to pastor this church is just the best day of my life. So I just want to say thank you. Generosity is not just about finances though, right, guys? I mean, it's about so much more than that. It's about a lifestyle. It's just who you are. It's who you become. Become a generous person. You could be a generous person and not have any money. I think encouragement is one of the best gifts that you can give to the body of Christ. So the last thing I have for you today is heart and soul believers are encouragers. Joseph was this Levite from Cyprus. He was not from Jerusalem like the others, which means that he, in essence, was a foreigner. He was a Levite, but he wasn't from there. And so it means he came to Jerusalem, heard about Jesus, and his life was radically changed to the point where he felt the need to give up this field and this property in order to advance the kingdom of God and to help others that were in need. This man who was named the son of encouragement by those around him, given that kind of a name, what a great name. He becomes one of the central figures in the rest of the book of Acts. And I truly believe it's because of his ability to encourage other people, just to lift people up, to speak life over them. Let's be real. He was probably the most likable guy. He's the kind of guy that, you know, like he does. He gives that $100 tip at the restaurant just to help the server have a better day. He's the guy that compliments your fit, you know, when you show up to the temple for worship. You know what I mean? He's like, hey, those are some nice sandals you got there. That's really nice. I like those. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. You got some clean feet today. He's just somebody that everybody enjoyed being around. I want to be a church that's heart and soul with our encouragement for one another. That's why I love when people are being baptized, that we're going nuts in here. When people are getting saved, we're putting our hands together. We're cheering them on. We're praying along with them, believing for God's best for them. Listen, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. You have the power to speak life over somebody, and you have the power to speak literal death over somebody. How many people have dealt with depression and anxiety because of a word that was spoken over them by somebody that was not true? People are just even raising their hands. I didn't even ask you to do that, but that's how powerful it is, isn't it? You remember that exact word that was spoken over you that just brought this feeling of depression and death and anxiety over you. But how many of you can also remember a time when somebody spoke a word of life over you, an encouragement over you, that completely changed your life? That's the kind of church that we need to be. A room full of people that speak life over one another, that encourage one another, that even when you're going through the darkest and the hardest of times in your life, that there is somebody there cheering you on and saying, you know what? This moment of failure doesn't define you. But you have so much more. God's got so much more for you in your life. You know what? Hey, I know you're going through a hard time, but man, let's go get coffee. I'm going to be available. I just want to be around. I want to help you however I can. You make yourself available for that person. And whether or not that you agree on every single thing, you're still unified under the banner of Jesus. And man, we can still, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. No matter what happens, I'm here for you heart and soul. So let's speak life over each other. Let's push each other. Let's encourage each other towards greater faith in Jesus, to believing God for bigger things. Let's be a heart and soul church. Amen. Heart and soul believers, to just kind of sum it up again, they're unified. They're available. They're generous. And they're encouragers. And becoming a heart and soul church, it doesn't happen by accident. You know this. You really do have to work at it. You believe that the church, the early church, just automatically was heart and soul for one another? Come on. It took time. It took relationship. It takes time to build trust with people. But that time investment at the beginning will pay off so much more in the end. But you got to make yourself available to be a part of the church fam. And that's why we say we're the rad fam around here. We don't want you to just be a guest. We want to turn guests into family. So even if it's your first time, that's what we want for you. As we want this to be a place where you can come and a people that you can hang out with and be a part of this community long term. And some of your best friends might be sitting in this service, or they might be in another service that you haven't even met them yet. Who knows? But I believe some of your best friends are here in this place today. And so be a part of the community. Be a part of what God is doing. And let's be a heart and soul church for one another. Amen? Would you stand? Let me pray that over you today. Father God, I just ask that you would help us to be all in for one another. You would help us to be heart and soul. Just like Jonathan's armor bearer that said, I am with you wherever you go, whatever you do, I'll be right with you. I'll go to battle with you. I'll fight alongside of you. I'm available for you, Jonathan. Whatever it is that you need, God, I pray that we would be that kind of church for one another. That we would be unified, Lord, not necessarily in every single way that we think and everything that we do, but God, that we would be unified in the things that matter, that we would be available for one another, that we would be generous toward one another because of the love of Jesus would compel us to be generous towards each other and towards our community around us. And God, I ask that you would give us the words of life by the power of your Holy Spirit to speak over one another. God, I know that this idea of heart and soul community, heart and soul church, it really is supernatural. It really is a miracle what you did in the early church. And God, I ask, would you do it in radical? And I thank you that you've been doing it. Would you strengthen us, Lord? Would you link us together, God? With one on our own, we can be broken. With two, we're stronger, but a strand of three is not easily broken. And so, God, I pray that as we unite together, that you would strengthen us. And as iron sharpens iron, that one man would sharpen another, that we would grow closer to you, closer to one another. Help us to go all in, heart and soul with one another. God, there's somebody that just needs a friend in this place or somebody that needs that kind of community. Lord, I pray that you would help them to find it. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in our church. Truly is miraculous. Thank you, God, for what you've blessed us with here at Radical. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. We love you guys. Stick around, hang out with somebody. We'll see you next week. God bless y'all.